Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMCortho.
Hi once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio today on Medical Monday is Dr. Gerald Ortiz, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, New York. His focus is on arthroscopic, minimally invasive surgery of the shoulder, elbow, knee, and ankle, as well as pediatric and foot-ankle disorders. He earned his medical degree at Cornell University, a medical center, and did his internship and residency at the L.A. County USC Medical Center, where he was also chosen to perform a prestigious sports medicine fellowship at the Curlin Joby. Is it Joby?
Job.
Orthopedic Clinic. He then moved to Amsterdam and joined Mohawk Valley Orthopedics. Dr. Ortiz is a member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the New York State Society of Orthopedic Surgeons, the American Medical Association, the Medical Society of the State of New York, the Montgomery County Medical Society, and the Arthroscopy Association of North America, a select group of orthopedic surgeons specially trained in minimally invasive arthroscopic surgery. Dr. Ortiz, thanks for being here. We love it when you come.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me real fast, you and your partner, Dr. Shen, are minimally invasive guys. What is that all about?
Oh, basically, we use tools that allow us to do surgery through smaller incisions than ever previously allowed by a series of fiber optic cameras and instruments that are specially designed to work around soft tissues and sometimes bone without doing too much dissection.
Now, I know that both St. Mary's and Nathan Litauer have invested a lot of money in equipment for you guys. What kind of stuff?
Well, on Dr. Shen's side, he does a lot of not only minimally invasive spinal procedures, but needs a microscope to operate around the nerves. That's a big investment, and he also has a robotic machine that's helped with the larger bony procedures, and again, allowing them to do.
Is that the one the Israelis invented?
That's correct. And I, on the other hand, use most of my the arthroscopic equipment's certainly developed over the years, but it's again a series of fiber optic cameras that allows me to do my work through small incisions.
Wow! And what's the advantage?
Certainly, the dissection is smaller. The postoperative pain is less.
Infection rate, right?
And certainly the infection rate, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what do you do most of?
The majority of my practice is shoulders and knees, but I do also elbow and foot and ankle surgery as well.
Okay. So people's knees are blowing out at historic rates, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
What's going on?
Well, there's certainly an epidemic of obesity in the United States that does certainly lead to degeneration in the knee. On the other spectrum, however, there's a lot of athletic injuries that occur due to, I would say, increased participation in sports and at a younger age. Certainly repetitive overuse problems and traumatic injuries occur.
Wow. Yeah. You're thin. How come?
Well, I actually was a runner. Right. Have had to switch to using the bike because of some back issues, which Dr. Shen I hope to have him help me with. But it's diet and exercise that's the key.
Well, you know, diet is so important. I have to tell you. I mean, it's just I just gotten rid of 11 pounds, and I'm a fairly thin guy, but what a difference it makes in almost everything. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to John in Cooperstown. John, you're on with Dr. Ortiz. John? Hello, John. Oh, no, I think I did the wrong thing. I got Brian, didn't I? Brian?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. This is Brian.
Okay, Brian, I'm sorry. We went out of order there a little bit. My fault. I apologize. We'll take you first. Go ahead.
Okay, I've had two knee, right knee surgeries, ACL reconstruction 20 years ago and a meniscus to trim up a little on the same knee, about 7. And I'm slowly having to gravitate towards non-impact sports, which I'd like to not have to do, but I'm wondering about these the synthetic fluid shots that are becoming more popular that encapsulate the knee, and what the doc's opinion on and the effectiveness of those.
Doctor?
Sure thing. Great question. How old are you?
44, active, you know, in shape, not heavy.
Great.
You know, I've stayed active my whole life, so I'm doing good in that respect, but the knee is starting to get a little banged up.
Yes, unfortunately, once you lose that meniscus or tear that meniscus, your shock absorbing capabilities within your knee decrease, and you tend to wear down your knee faster than you normally would. And it's impact athletes typically that suffer most, unfortunately. But I think that what you're talking about is hyaluronic acid, and it's something that comes in different formulations, but it's an excellent idea for someone like you who'd like to continue to stay active. It's typically a series of shots given once a week for 3 weeks that can last you, if you read the package insert, up to 18 months. But I'll be honest with you, most people come back once a year for it, and they do fairly well. It can definitely stave off the need for a knee replacement, which you want to stay away from if you're that active and young.
Are there any, is there any evidence of showing that these shots may cause some undue, like, deterioration? Like, there's nothing, like, these fluids aren't going to affect the joint in a adverse way long term, or do they not know that?
No, that's correct. There are no real adverse effects that have been reported. Some people get some local irritation of the soft tissue at the site of injection, but no, this has been used in horses, believe it or not, for years and years, and eventually made its way to the United States via Europe, like everything does. And there have been no adverse reactions that I know of with any of the products, except for, if some people have a latex allergy, there's one product that has some latex in it. But other than the local irritation, there really are no adverse side effects that we know of.
And what exactly is the meniscus?
Well, the meniscus is a shock absorber in your knee. It's what we call fibrocartilage, and it's located between the two hard cartilage surfaces, which everybody knows about. I mean, you've seen them at the end of a chicken bone. But in our knee, we have this meniscus that transmits force from one side of the knee to the other.
Oh, interesting.
And when it sort of distributes the stress more evenly across the knee, when you lose that, your cartilage starts to wear down faster.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yep. Okay, now we're going to go a little out of order to get the guy in who was supposed to get in, and that's John. I believe it's John in Cooperstown. Okay, John, you're on.
Oh, thank you very much. Could I ask the doctor, does he have any exercise regimen for high school girl soccer players to cut down on shin splints? Both daughters have had trouble with that about halfway through the season. It gets pretty much unbearable for them.
That's great. Have they been evaluated at all?
No.
Okay.
No, they haven't been evaluated.
Yeah. Shin splint syndrome is usually pretty recognizable. It's pain along the front or inner part of your shin. And certainly if that's where they're having their pain, we as orthopedists and certainly some of the podiatrists and physical therapists usually will evaluate the alignment of the leg first, which is whether or not they're their knee goes in or out, and whether their foot is flat or not. If any of those things are present, then certainly there's different ways to manage it. But in general, flexibility exercises for the Achilles tendon in the back of the leg, calf strengthening exercises, and strengthening exercises for the muscles and tendons in the front of your leg, we call them the extensors of the foot, are all types of exercises that are used for shin splint syndrome. Again, granted that there's no malalignment present, which when we start to get into malalignments, we start talking about orthotics and things like that to help. But a lot can really be determined by the flexibility of the foot and the position of the foot, whether it's flat or high arch. Those two things do make a big difference in terms of how you manage the problem.
Thank you. Is there anywhere to find a group of exercises for the particular problems that you just met, the Achilles tendon and the muscles in the front of the shin?
Yes, certainly. If you go to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons (AAOS), they do have a link for patients to go to You can look up any specific problem you want to, and they I know for a fact that they have exercises for that problem.
Well, you know, I know what works for me. You know, I'm an old guy, but I do an awful lot of walking, and if I don't do this exercise, then I get shin splints, and which is to sort of stand up and then with your toes, with your feet pointing inward, mm-hmm. stand on it that way. That yep. seems to help an awful lot.
That's right. The calf strengthening exercise I referred to, right.
Oh, great. Terrific. Okay, John, thanks again.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Oh, my. Let's go to Kate in Medusa, where everybody thinks. Kate, go ahead.
Hi. I'm a 70-year-old female. I've been up to last year, been going hiking and kayaking and started biking and started skiing a little bit, too. 2 weeks ago, I woke up with a very sore knee. The day before, I had been working on my bent knees quite a while. I went to an orthopedic doctor because I could barely walk. I got a cortisone injection and x-rays, and he told me that, and a brace, that I would need knee replacement. I work here alone running a farm. I can't stop doing that right at the moment. I wanted to try to lose by fall like 25 to 30 pounds, and then if I have to have it, do it in the fall. But I would like to know some alternatives, and if you could tell me a little bit about it, and can I come see you?
You certainly can. Our office is Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Amsterdam, New York. And with regards to your problem, you know, it sounds like this sounds like a recent flare of arthritis. And certainly I don't know if the depomedrol injection worked for you or not. But that's, you know, the beginning of the treatment, if you will. I think knee replacement is the end of the treatment. And there are lots of things in between. As we discussed earlier in the program, this hyaluronic acid is an option. Physical therapy has been shown to help patients, certainly with arthritis. And, you know, we don't just base our decision to do surgery for knee replacement on the x-rays. It's got to be about the patient and the how long they've had the problem, what they've tried. So it certainly seems like you're in the beginning of the process. And I think we have some other things to offer you.
Hey, Kate, okay. Kate, how are you going to lose the weight?
How am I going to lose the weight? Yeah. I walk as much as I can, but that'll be somewhat limited. Cut back on what I'm eating and carbs and all that stuff. I did it before. I lost about 60 pounds.
Yeah, wow.
And but I did put about 15 on this year, which I could kick myself for. The other thing I just want to ask you quick is when I was a teenager, it didn't happen much once I got to be an adult. That same leg, my knee would go out of joint once in a while, like in gym class or something. And I'm wondering if that over the years didn't do some weakening of the area there.
I wouldn't focus too much on that, quite honestly. I think that it's a possibility, but it's water under the bridge, so to speak.
Or as Andrew Cuomo would say, it is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is, yeah. Okay, well, that you'll be hearing from me because I this is something major, and I don't want to go into it without exploring all the alternatives.
Great. Thanks, Kate.
Good for you.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Whoa. Me. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We will be right back, so stay right there.
Support comes from Premier Medical Group, gastroenterology, urology, internal medicine, endocrinology, geriatrics, nephrology, and pulmonology, with offices throughout the Hudson Valley. PremierMedicalHV.com. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm. Snowfarm.org. Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh. Master's and online RN to BS in nursing degree programs for adult students. Post-master's nurse practitioner certificates in adult and family health, msmc.edu. And Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop. TheBowWowBathhouse.com.
We are back with Dr. Ortiz and Dr. Gerald Ortiz, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, New York. What's that telephone number? Somebody wants to get a hold of you.
842-BONE.
842-BONE.
Yes.
How clever. Okay, let's go to Kurt. Okay, Kurt, you're on.
Yes. Hi, doctor. Thank you. I went to my doctor with a shoulder pain. He said you have frozen shoulder. And he said there's not that much you can do for it. I just wonder if you are of the same opinion.
Okay. Well, let's assume that that's exactly what you've got. The treatment generally starts out with physical therapy, and it can be, you know, certainly difficult sometimes to move beyond the adhesions in your shoulder, and it can be certainly painful at first with the physical therapy, but in general, that's the conservative approach. Sometimes we'll use in conjunction with that a depomedrol shot, which is a cortisone essentially. And then when that fails, certainly arthroscopic surgery and what we call manipulation of the shoulder to tear up those adhesions, and that's very effective in terms of treating the problem. So I'm a little surprised that he told you there was nothing else that could be done.
What was an adhesion again?
Okay, so frozen shoulder is an idiopathic, meaning we don't really know causes it. And it's just a scar tissue that forms in the capsule of the joint, which surrounds the shoulder. And as you all probably have realized, is that the shoulder has more mobility than any other joint in the body. And when this capsule gets frozen, it's very disabling. You can't use your hand in space. So we have to first address the adhesions, which is either by stretching them out slowly with physical therapy or with surgery.
And is it true that it will go away by itself over time?
Sometimes it does. It's, in my experience, a very prolonged process of what we call thawing out. And I certainly will give patients home exercises to do, but the unfortunate thing with shoulders is they're very hard to rehab on your own. You need somebody to sort of put you through the ranges of motion that are going to stretch out the capsule in various positions, and the therapists are generally, you know, excellent at doing that. It's, you know, it's possible to have your spouse do it or set up some pulleys and whatnot, but in general, shoulders, they physical therapy, I think, if any other joint in the body, the shoulders are helped most.
Okay, well, that's good information. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That's off. And now we do, let's see here. My glasses are not that good. Number three. You're number three, Larry. Go ahead.
Hello. I have a question about Osgood Schlatter's disease. My son has this diagnosis. And the question is, are there any restrictions on activity as long as you have this? Any increased chance of permanent damage from activity while you have this diagnosis?
Okay, before we go ahead, Doc, let's have that disease again. It went by awfully quickly. It's for everybody.
Osgood Schlatter's disease.
Yes.
A very common problem.
Yes, it is, and you pronounced it very well. The Osgood Schlatter's disease is basically sort of a stress or overuse injury to the front of adolescents' knees, typically. Their growth plates are still open at the point where the kneecap tendon, the patellar tendon, inserts into the shin bone. And they have a growth plate there that then becomes irritated and inflamed and painful. It's typically jumping sports that are the culprits. And in general, we treat the problem, as we say, symptomatically, meaning that if it just hurts to touch it after a game or practice, then no big deal. The stretching exercises that we tell people to do are to stretch out the hamstrings in the back of your leg and the quadriceps in the front of the knee, they can play sports. But if they're having pain with jumping or they're limping up and down the court, then guess what? You got to rest them, and you have to do the stretches. Typically, therapy is not necessary for this problem, although, you know, it could be done. But it is a problem that is self-limited, gets better on its own. If you keep doing the sports, you can actually get a free-floating fragment of this growth plate in the tendon that persists and can cause pain into adulthood. It's easily addressed in adulthood, but, you know, why go there?
It's
certainly something that it's unlikely to cause major sports disability, but certainly everybody would like to avoid surgery, whether they're 13 or 26.
Always wonderful.
So pain during the sports is okay, but if it persists, that means there's a more severe problem.
Yeah, I mean, I usually tell parents and coaches that if the kid is limping on the court, he's got to come off. If it's some pain afterwards and he can ice it down and he's back to normal the next day, then he's probably not doing any harm as long as he continues to stretch throughout the season.
Right. Okay. How long might this last?
It can be 3 months. If you prolong the activity, you know, it can go on for quite a long time. But most patients, it's self-limited 3 to 4 months if you do the exercises and relative rest.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. 1-800-348-2551, because Larry's off. That opens up one phone, and one phone only. It could be yours. Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Okay, Lisa, you're on.
Hi. Question was regarding meniscus. Are there any current treatments approved for regeneration of the meniscus?
Lisa, you're busting up. I don't know why. You're not on a special phone of any kind, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see what we got of this. Has there been anything approved for injections of the, and that's where we faded.
To regenerate the meniscus.
Yes, there's. The answer is no. Unfortunately, it's being worked on. Certainly, there are what we call scaffolds being designed, mostly genetic engineering type of stuff, cell therapy possibly in the future. But no, there's nothing that, as of yet, that can regenerate the meniscus or the cartilage for that matter, which is why that's why injury prevention and making weight management and all those things that we tell people to do are really important for the joints.
I heard about a treatment called Regenix.
Yes.
It's being given in a couple of clinics in Colorado and New Jersey. What do you know about that?
Yes, they are not approved by the FDA or have been proven to be effective in what we call randomized prospective studies, which is what the sort of medical literature requires in order to get that designation as FDA approved, so to speak. It's even though it's not a drug, it's it is a injection that takes patients' own cells and injects them back into the knee. And there's different ways, different varieties of mediums that they inject it in. But the bottom line is that it hasn't been proven to be effective yet in terms of certainly meniscal regeneration. There are some reports that it can help with symptoms of arthritis, but that's a different discussion.
Right. There's been several thousand patients already treated with it, patients in their 70s, 80s, and they've had quite a great, actually,
success.
You know, effective for them, right?
Yeah.
People that were almost not able to walk. I was just very curious if that was approved or not.
Well, I take it that Dr. Ortiz is actually speaking from the journals of the research that's been done. And, you know, it's one thing to have the stuff coming at you with he said, she said, as opposed to what the numbers are.
Correct. There's testimonials that I'm sure you can find. And that's not to say that in the future it may not be approved or considered efficacious, but it's not. You have to understand it's not regenerating meniscus, which is what you asked. And we hope to have something someday that we can do that with.
And we're all waiting for the artificial. We're all waiting for the artificial meniscus to be developed. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate your call.
Can I ask you just one more real quick question? There's a treatment in the UK that has been approved, and do you know anything about that?
I don't know what you're referring to in terms of meniscal regeneration. There's nothing on the forefront that I can tell you that will regenerate meniscus at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, let's go to Tom in Gilderland. Okay, Tom, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. Doctor, quick question. Back in 2010, I was diagnosed with MRSA. And he said it colonized in the body, and he said I needed a knee replacement, and they said there's no way you'll ever get a knee replacement. Is that a fact?
Now, wait a second. Let me get a couple of questions here, because everybody else needs some description here. MRSA, of course, is a bacterial, right?
Yes, it stands for methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which is a bacteria.
And it's a bad one.
That's right. The answer to your question is that being colonized with MRSA in and of itself is not a contraindication to having a joint replacement. So there are ways to treat the MRSA in your body, and most joint replacement centers would treat you first for it, and then they retest you and certainly perform the surgery. There's antibiotics that can be given pre- and post-operatively to help prevent infection. So I would say that you ought to keep looking.
And there's not a long distance between Gelderland and Amsterdam, is there?
Not at all.
Okay, just thought I'd make that observation. Okay, Tom.
I won't be long. Wait, just a quick one. Yeah. The MRSA, they said, you know, they treated it, the infectious disease of people treated it, and they said, okay, I'm working around, but it's colonizing the body. And their take on it was that if I had an artificial prosthesis put in, the MRSA seems to attack that. And
well,
you could lose your leg.
Well, did you?
I was told.
Yeah. Did you have an infection in the knee specifically, or no?
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay, that's a slightly different story.
All right. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. If you had the infection in the knee, and they're still colonizing bacteria from there, then that is a problem for you. But there are certainly aggressive ways to treat the infection and try to eliminate it as a first step, but I believe that you're talking about a slightly different circumstance, and it sounds pretty complicated.
Which way should I go? I mean, who should I go see?
I would certainly try one of our knee replacement specialists. Certainly, Dr. Cecil in Amsterdam would be happy to talk to you about the risks of doing surgery in that situation.
Okay.
But I think it would be a good idea for you to get a second opinion and have. Someone else, you know, look at your knee and decide whether or not this is in fact true.
Okay, I thank you very much for your help.
Thanks,
no,
Tom.
No,
okay, and let's go to Jody in New Jersey. Okay, Jody in New Jersey, you're on.
Yes, Alan, great show. It's very informative. I love Medical Monday, and I'll be brief. My daughter is hobbling around. She went to a doctor. She has, and they took an X-ray, and they said she had plantar fasciitis, and there's nothing that they can do for it. Now, she stands and teaches all day long. And this is going on 3 weeks now, and she's still hobbling.
Okay. So the condition you're referring to is plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
And it's very common in runners, and it's certainly common in a lot of different people in different shapes and sizes. But in general, again, we start with conservative treatment, which includes a lot of stretching exercises, especially the Achilles tendon and the back of the foot. There are massaging exercises that you can do for the plantar fascia. And again, I would encourage you to look at the AAOS website for patient information about different conditions. But the treatment goes on to, depending on the shape of the foot, orthotics, injections of cortisone can be used judiciously in this situation. It's not something that we like to do surgery on, although there are patients who certainly end up needing it. But, I wouldn't say there's nothing that can be done for it. Certainly that's false.
Okay, so should she see an orthopedic or a podiatrist?
I would say in the plantar fasciitis, probably either one is sufficient.
Okay.
Get a good recommendation, and certainly it's something that is treatable.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Jody, when the podiatrists are on the program, we get a lot of calls about this also.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Great show, Alan. Yeah,
thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Barbara in Chatham. Okay, Barbara.
Hi. I have a osteochondral defect in the talus bone of my left ankle.
Whoa.
That happened after I broke the fibula. It was about a year later this injury was found when it wasn't getting better. I've had a microbe fracture and a bone graft to try and fix it, and neither of those worked. Is there anything else besides an ankle fusion that could help?
Okay, now wait a second. We've got about seven things. Yeah. My job here, Barbara, for whatever it's worth, is not only about you and the doc, but letting everybody else know what's going on the outside. So there are about seven things that need definition there.
Yeah. She did a great job of describing her problem in one sentence. So you have a fairly complicated injury to the cartilage in your ankle, and you had, we call it an osteochondral defect, and it's basically like a pothole in the ankle.
How it's been described, yes.
Yeah. And with that, you have typically instability symptoms, chronic pain, swelling. and it can be from a routine ankle sprain or a fracture for that matter. But the treatment you had was, in fact, I think the correct treatment. It's I don't know if you had it arthroscopic or open, but typically we'll clean it up, drill it, and try to create this fibrovascular tissue to fill in the pothole, if you will. And as a last resort, sometimes a bone graft is done to try to fill in the pothole. Those are it's a very difficult problems to get an excellent result in. We generally can reduce people's pain level to a tolerable, but many times patients are forced to give up exercise with your problem. There are unapproved treatments, as someone called in earlier. The visco supplementation is something that I personally have done. It's not approved for the ankle. It's only approved for the knee. But with the right physician and the right insurance company, many times you can get it approved. But, you know, ankle replacement is something that is an option for someone with chronic ankle pain and arthritis. It doesn't allow you to run, and mostly we do it in patients who are somewhat limited in their ambulatory abilities because it doesn't stand up to the test of time like knee replacements or hip replacements. But I think that you're starting to get on the edge of where we talk about alternative treatments, and you may want to consider one of those other options that aren't necessarily approved by the FDA, but certainly could potentially give you some benefit.
Barbara, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, bye. We're going to take a very short break. I mean seconds, and we'll be right back. So Barbara and Andy and Joan and Dan, stay right there.
Support comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center, Poughkeepsie, offering a graduate program in social work and graduate and undergraduate programs in nursing. Adelphi.edu. Ellis Medicine, providing surgical weight loss options at the Bariatric Care Center, Schenectady, New York. EllisMedicine.org. And Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Dine-in, takeout, delivery, 518-432-0358.
I told you we'd be back in no time, 1-800-348-2551. But wait a second, because all five phones have been ringing off the hook for the entire program. When somebody else hangs up, then that's your chance. You really want to know how to do it? I'm going to tell you right now. You dial all the numbers except for the last one. As soon as somebody hangs up, then you dial the last one, and boom, you're in. And that beats out all the competition. Got it? Okay, now you know the technique. All right, let's go to Barbara in Saratoga Springs. Okay, Barbara, you're on.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask a couple questions about the hand.
Sure.
If I could. I've been a sculptor for 30 years, and I have severe arthritis in the base of the thumb on both hands. I've received a couple of cortisone shots in each hand, and the doctor now wants to operate on both hands. And, of course, I cannot do that and won't do that. Is there any other approach to this? Like, I know you mentioned the hyaluronic acid.
Good question. How did the shots work for you?
In the beginning, they did. And after the first one, the second one, they no longer were effective.
Okay. Yes. Other than surgery, unfortunately, for that problem, again, you'd be going off label with these other injections in terms of, getting authorization from your insurance company to pay for the substance. But I don't have any even anecdotal experience with that. It's something that could be considered. But unfortunately, the depomedral injections, the the thumb splints, and the anti-inflammatory medications are really the mainstay of treatment for your problem. And surgery.
A thumb splint is not a possibility because I have to work every day. I have to sculpt.
Right, I understand. So it is something that again, this medication, this injection of hyaluronic acid could be performed. You'd have to find someone. I'll be quite frank with you. The series of three injections for a knee costs $500, and the insurance companies will usually pay for it in an indicated patient. They have no obligation to pay for it for a non-indicated joint. So if you were willing to, fork out the $500, there you might be able to find somebody who'd be willing to try it, and they'd probably say there's no promises, but this is a something we could give try for you.
Have you ever known that that might work for the hand?
Like, as I said, I have no experience with it, and I have not seen any reports on it, but it certainly sounds like you're as good a candidate as anybody I've seen.
Hands are tough, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
You can imagine as a professional, I promised myself, I had a surgery some years ago on the elbow, at which time I promised myself I would never submit to surgery again, which I won't. So I'm looking for anything that will keep me going, of course.
Right. And I would say that's your best bet.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
And Barbara, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay, that leaves one free phone open. And now we go to Andy in
Wichita,
New York. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to comment on the person who called about the frozen shoulder, because this is something I had and sought treatment for over a period of 3 months with various treatments that just continued to get worse until I found somebody who did bee sting treatments. And they actually took live bees, marked a place on the shoulder blade, and let the bee sting me, timed the amount of time the stinger was in, and pulled it out. And after each treatment, the shoulder got better, and over a period of 4 to 6 weeks, it was completely rejuvenated. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. Oh, actually, I think I have heard of that once, but I couldn't tell you the medical rationale for the benefit there, but whatever works sometimes.
But there's this huge thing where the bees are all dying, so if you're going to do it, you got to do it fast. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Yeah. Okay, that leaves one free phone open, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Joan in Amherst. Okay, Joan, you're on.
Hi, yes. About 9 months ago, I had some numbing and tingling in my left arm and leg, and after a series of tests, a neck MRI showed up a herniated disc between C5 and C6 in my neck with moderately effacing the spinal cord. I went to the neurosurgeon, and he said basically watch it for 3 to 4 months, do some home neck traction, wear a soft cervical collar, and I have seen slow improvement, but I'm wondering if you have any suggestions out as to, how I could either speed the process or I could better align, improve my back alignment. I'm an active person, but I've stopped jogging and doing those things that I know will jolt those joints.
Right. It sounds like he's being very conservative, which is certainly excellent. The traction is what we typically recommend. Certainly some strengthening exercises, mostly for your neck, and we call them the muscles around your shoulder blade, periscapular muscles, sort of traction types of things. You want to avoid things that will cause you to sort of strain. We call it a Valsalva maneuver. Those increase the pressure in your spinal canal and can certainly aggravate symptoms, but
could you describe those a little more?
I would say avoid things like lifting something heavy that's going to cause you to sort of contract your diaphragm and increase the pressure in your spine. Mm-hmm. But mostly the traction and the exercises for your neck are what you want to work on. I don't think there's any process that we can tell you will make that disc resorb any faster. It sounds like your symptoms are on the mend, and certainly there's a lot of people out there with C5, 6 herniations that don't need surgery. But you do certainly have to be careful, speaking from experience, as I had a C5,
personal 6, experience.
C5, 6 fusion. It's certainly something that can come back to haunt you.
But the fusion worked for you, Doc, yes?
It did. That's right.
Yeah,
I'd like to avoid the surgery if possible, but you do say that it sometimes can be, I was told that if I get loss of function, then surgery is in the future, but up to that point, Is that your understanding?
Well, I would say to you that it might be too late when you lose function. If you're having chronic pain that's unrelenting and something that you say to yourself, I can't live with this, you ought to consider surgery.
That's the crazy thing is there's absolutely no pain. It's just tingling.
Then I would say that you're doing the right thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any thoughts about how long to do traction? You know, 5 minutes three times a day or?
Usually we tell people 20 minutes a day three times.
20 minutes.
20
a
minutes
day.
Three
and
times a day.
And what is the traction? What do you do?
Are you using a device that pumps up or hangs you from the door?
The pump up, the one where you lay on the floor and then it pumps it and pulls it up.
There's a collar that they apply and you it's got the air pump in it. It just
How about my machine which holds you upside down?
No proof that that helps, but there are different types of traction units.
I like it. Thanks, Joan. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Dan in Scotia. Dan in Scotia, you're on.
Hi. I'm going in for an MRI on my left knee tomorrow, and I was wondering what the treatment options are for a torn meniscus. The reason I ask is because a friend of mine had this done, and he developed vascular necrosis of the knee into the femur.
Correct.
He ended up getting a partial knee replacement. I was wondering how common that is, and getting back to the what you do about a torn
meniscus
ligament or whatever the heck it is.
Meniscus, yes.
Is there anything other than arthroscopic surgery that could be used?
Great question. How old are you?
I'm 72.
Okay. So what
I'm 5'11", 205 pounds. I exercise a lot. I'm active, so I'm not a couch potato or anything like that.
Good. Well, what we do in our office and to evaluate someone like yourself would be to get standing x-rays to make sure that you don't have any malalignment in your knee.
I've had that.
Good. And so then if you have a degenerative meniscal tear, we were just talking about this here in the studio, there's been some studies that show that physical therapy is as effective as surgery in patients with degenerative medial meniscal tears. Certainly that's something that could be tried. Sometimes the x-rays don't show that you have some early arthritis. And going in there and with the scope, I many times will tell my patients, I can cure your meniscus tear, which, by the way, the symptoms are typically pain and catching, not stiffness and achiness. It's more of a mechanical symptom. Arthritis is typically more of a dull ache and pain, which is associated with stiffness when you're not moving. So if you're having symptoms of arthritis, arthroscopy isn't going to help you. If you're having symptoms of mechanical symptoms of locking or catching, that is something that can be helped. And the study that was done, I don't think sorted out those patients very well, but in all comers who had degenerative meniscal tears, meaning no specific injury and pain and some associated arthritis, physical therapy was as effective as surgery.
I wanted to add an add-on question here, and that is, how do you get arthritis?
Mostly you inherit it.
Oh, is that right?
It's degenerative arthritis, osteoarthritis is inherited, but certainly people who have trauma to their knee, we refer to that as post-traumatic arthritis, when you tear a meniscus traumatically or have some other problem like a rheumatoid arthritis, which is certainly different.
So you and I both had problems after we ran. I ran for 10 years every day, sometimes once, sometimes twice, and then everything sort of collapsed. The 2,000-year-old man offered the following advice: never get in an Italian sports car and never eat fried foods. But I'm wondering if running is probably one of the should be added to his advice.
It hasn't been proven yet, let's put it that way, that running does any detriment to the knee, but certainly there are people who I advise not to run.
Yeah. Dan, you done?
That's it.
Thanks,
Thank
Dan. All right. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Let's go to Barbara in Avril Park. Okay, Barbara, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having trouble with a right shoulder impingement with a bone spur. I got it all stirred up one summer doing a lot of swimming, and I've since had physical therapy and cortisone injections in the rear of the shoulder and the front of the shoulder, without any relief. So I've now been told surgery might be an option.
Yes, and did you have an MRI of your shoulder?
Yes, I did.
And it didn't show a rotator cuff tear?
No.
Good. So yes, you're a classic example of someone with what we call impingement syndrome, and tends to be overhead use that bothers it, like swimming, throwing, things of that nature. And it, and I would say to you that the surgery is very effective, and you may be surprised at how quickly and uneventfully it goes. Of course, not everybody, but it is something you've done all of the conservative treatment that I certainly would recommend. And if it's something that is, as I said earlier, bothersome and interferes with your way of life, it's something that's easily fixed.
And you don't usually get more arthritis from surgery?
Not in this instance, no. There are certainly some operations where we can stir things up. I was just referring to the knee, but not the shoulder arthritis is unusual and certainly atypical. It would be very atypical to get aggravation of arthritis from that.
Barbara, got to let you go. We're coming
Thank
to the
you
end.
So much.
Thanks very much. Okay, everybody, we're now in the lightning round. I want to get everybody in as far as much as we can. So keep your questions short. Let us go to Nancy in Stone Ridge. Okay, Nancy, go.
Hi. About 3 years ago, I had a slip and fall. I dislocated my elbow, and I also broke the radial head. I had a lot of surgeries and PT, and I've never been able to gain full use of my elbow. I can't bend it more than 90 degrees, and there's a prosthesis in there. So I'm just wondering if there's anything else that I can try, or am I just stuck with an elbow that doesn't really bend?
Great question. And the short answer is there are you have a very tough problem, which and your result is not uncommon. But there are certain physicians who will do what's called a open lysis of adhesions in this situation, which is it's an extensive operation that's done to release the scar tissue around your elbow. Some physicians will do it arthroscopically. It's somewhat more risky, but certainly an option opportunity for you. And
I think they tried that, and they also tried to remove the prosthesis, and they couldn't get it all out because bone had grown around it. So.
I would say you're probably going to have to live with that one. It's a very tough problem.
One quick question. He suggested, the surgeon, that they're using Botox as an injection. It's experimental. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, I've seen that with some soft tissue disorders that are nerve-related, but I have not seen that with, what we would call, in your case, post-traumatic arthritis or stiffness. I don't have any experience with that.
Okay. Well,
nice
thank
Nancy.
You.
Okay. Again, we're in the lightning round. Be short. Cardiac. Caroline.
Yeah, hi.
You're on.
I'm calling about a friend who's had rotator cuff on both of his shoulders late 1990s and early 2000s, and he's having a lot of pain now. He's 81. He does exercises. He's cut back on the weight-related stuff that might affect his shoulders. And I'm wondering what the longevity is of the rotator cuff surgery and if there's anything that can be done that might help with the pain, or whether physical therapy might help, or if there's anything that would give him some relief other than repeat surgery.
Right. Yeah, that's someone, first of all, is again, very common. The rotator cuff, the most common, I don't want to call it a complication, it's sort of the natural history, is that many times the rotator cuff does re-tear and does cause problems down the road. If he's 81, my preference in that patient would be to try some cortisone shots and physical therapy. Most times we can get the pain under control and get them more functional with a good round of physical therapy, but you have to give it 3 months before you really see a difference.
He's got pins in one and a clamp in the other, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
I don't think so. I mean, he's 81. He deserves a good round of conservative treatment, which, again, no matter what he's got in there, is certainly is going to be beneficial, I think.
How long would the cortisone be good for? Because that's a steroid, and I know that's not so great to use on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, we don't like to. If let's put it this way, if this patient was 26 or 50, even 50, we probably wouldn't do multiple cortisone shots. But the alternative for him, most likely, is a rather large surgery that has a very low probability of success. So we sort of judicious use of cortisone, meaning not more than once every 3 months, would not be a terrible thing for him.
Okay, and no hyaluronic acid?
Not the hyaluronic acid, but the bees might help. I don't know.
yeah, the bees. I forgot about them.
Okay.
Hey, Carolyn, thank you very much.
Okay,
we're going to try to get one more in here. Let's go to Linda. Linda, you got to be quick because otherwise we're out of time. Go ahead.
Hi. Been having swelling in my knee since December, and I had an MRI, and I don't have a meniscus tear, but the right side of my knee, the meniscus is like a sponge. It's not working properly.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried draining it and gave me a cortisone shot, but he's talking about surgery to
okay.
take the meniscus out.
We're talking about arthroscopic surgery?
Yes.
Yeah. How old are you?
64.
Yeah. I personally, again, would get the, make sure that you had standing x-rays.
Yeah, I have standing x-rays.
And he said you didn't have any joint space narrowing?
No, no.
Okay, well, that's good.
He said my joints look good.
Yeah. I'd be a little weary of having an arthroscopy for a meniscus problem that the MRI says the meniscus isn't torn. They're usually very accurate in this situation. You may have some early arthritis that they're not seeing on the x-ray. But again, you've had good conservative treatment. The only other thing that I might tell you again is, I hate to be repetitive, but the hyaluronic acid in this situation may be of use for you and something to consider before surgery rather than after.
Should I see another doctor?
That's up to you, but I certainly think you can bring up raise the question of whether, what about these hyaluronic acid injections?
What is it? Hi.
Hyaluronic acid. Hyalurinc.
Don't look at me. I'm the worst speller in the world.
Okay. All right.
Hyaluronic.
But you wouldn't necessarily go for the surgery.
I'd be a little wary about that one, especially if the MRI doesn't show a meniscus tear.
Linda, we are out of time. I am so sorry. And I also want to apologize to everybody we left on the phone. Leslie from Kingston and
Bernice.
What do you see from the other side?
Bernice,
maybe. from Albany. And Fred from Folk Lake. So sorry that we haven't been able to get your calls today. But, Doc, you did very well. Everybody wants to talk to you. You'll come back again soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Support for Medical Monday from creams designed to heal muscle aches, back, neck, and shoulder pain, injuries, carpal tunnel, and more. Toprosin.com. Thanks for joining us again. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Dylan Buckley. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.